If we can't say it on the radio, we'll say it in a podcast. Unscripted, unpredictable, and on demand. The Pepper and Dylan After Show Show Podcast.
Welcome to it. It is Pepper and Dylan Ask Us Anything, Wednesday, April 23rd.
Okay, do you still have that text that came in today? You said that you've got several Ask Us Anything, so thank you. Continue to send them, and we'll get to them as we get to them. But one came into the live show today. Robbie, do you have it in front of you?
Oh, you know what I thought I did? Yeah, it was essentially, we read it on the air a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what were those, like, rock you, heart-jerking, sort of just tug at your heart stories that we've encountered over our time working on the radio?
So it was Sam who sent it in.
Yep.
And he said he's relatively new to the city. So
or she. That's right.
True. So Sam said that they are relatively new to the city and catching up kind of on the show, getting more familiar with the show. So thank you, Sam, for listening to the show and getting caught up via podcasts. And so they ask us anything from Sam. And good that Sam's relatively new because would not know the answer, perhaps, to this. But it was the most kind of like heart-wrenching, gut-punching, just like emotional moment on the show.
Yeah, just the stories or the people that really made us want to help.
We try and do our best at, being irreverent. And I think silly would probably sometimes be a word. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. You're silly.
But there are moments, right? You can't avoid. And sometimes we don't deal with them well.
That's my biggest problem.
Sometimes the silly tries to bubble up when there are some of the most severe and serious moments. And sometimes it's great because a little irreverence goes a long way in breaking up kind of the tone of something. But sometimes we're all kind of looking at each other like, how do we deal with this? Uh-huh. This is, this has expanded long past our boundaries and level of expertise. But there have been a few. And then there are many, actually. Like we said today on the show, the Robbie Fund came about to help people in situations. So while Sam was asking, kind of ones that we felt like, God, we wish we could do something or wish we could have done something. There are many where we have done things.
Yes.
We bought a car for a woman who was in her son, Robbie, because you delivered this car.
I did.
So
we spent like a whole bunch of time raising money. Because we just wanted to buy somebody a car. So we didn't actually know of her at first.
Right.
Right? I was just like, I want to give away a car.
Right.
Right? And we tried to raise as much money as we could to get the best car to give to somebody. And we took stories for a while. And then we like ultimately landed on this woman because she was just so in need.
But then the car that we were going to get was a real piece of crap, right?
It was. And then I remember it was Ken. I think he was a GM at Go Kia South. Said, guys, do not give her a beater. How much money do you have? So I was in communications with Ken, and he said, come on, okay. He found us a really good vehicle for that price. Like, mm-hmm. He really helped out.
And she was in Calgary, and her son was at the Calgary Children's Hospital.
And she always drive back and forth from Edmonton to Calgary.
To get him to his appointments. And when she was in Calgary, she had to take the bus, and his son had like an immune disease that being exposed to all of that was really, really bad for him. So having their own transportation meant a lot.
Yeah.
And our audience came forward, and thanks to Ken, we were able to upgrade whatever jalopy we were going to. Because wouldn't it just be a Pepper and Dylan thing if we got her a car and then a week after her getting used to having the car, it broke down and would cost her another $3,000 to repair.
What was it? A Suzuki or a Subaru or something? What the heck? It was some off-brand something.
A Suzuki Grand Vitara?
There it is.
Are you calling a Suzuki an off-brand vehicle?
For a car, yeah. I think for
if you told
bike,
me to go buy a Suzuki right now, I wouldn't know where to go.
Not a clue.
Without Google.
I don't even know if they sell a Suzuki still, do they?
Not I don't sure. know, but it was like a good vehicle, and Ken knew what he was talking about, so we trusted him.
Yeah,
and it was just so much newer and nicer. At first, I thought I wanted to give away a beater to like some kid going back to school.
Yeah,
and then it just turned into this. Oh no, we can raise a bit more money and get a better car for somebody who really needs it.
Mm-hmm.
We've paid tuition for a student. We've done a lot of little things, big things. I mean, I don't know. Robbie, you're the one that's kind of behind the Robbie Fund.
The one that I, like, maybe to answer Sam's question out of my perspective, we did, there was a girl named Mackenzie, and we raised money for her bucket list because she was really young.
Oh, right.
And the diagnosis was she's probably not going to live very long.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget exactly what her ailment was, but she just didn't think she was going to live very long. The doctors, her parents, everybody. So we raised money for her bucket list. I've never heard from her since. So I fear the worst has happened.
Possibly.
But that was like in the beginning of the Robbie Fund days. Those were the types of things that kind of set that one in motion.
What things were on the bucket list?
Wow. Just she wanted to do a lot of things like travel and just like sweet, innocent things that she had never done because she was so young.
You also did a bucket list for a dog as well, didn't you?
I did. Daisy the pug.
Before it was put down.
Yeah, yeah, which I wanted to do for Biff, Pepper's dog, who just
Pepper
died.
Waited too long.
We were going to do it on the Friday, and Biff was put down on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we were planning on Biff's bucket list that Friday.
Should have planned a bucket list quicker.
I guess. Boy, that came quick.
It did.
And, you know, we are really bad record keepers on the show.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of my regrets, but not regrettable enough that I've taken any initiative to fix that. Uh-huh. I guess we have a little bit, right? We now archive everything.
We do. It's hard with turnover. We've had different, like, Amits. We've had Marika. We've had just different people, and that archive's gone.
Everybody had a different system. Yeah. So we aren't the best record keepers, certainly not the best keepers of past audio highlights. I mean, we have some, but not all, and sometimes things slip through the cracks. So not to sound like we're not attached to some of these moments, truthfully though, that we've done a lot of them, and sometimes it takes a little bit of a memory jog to remember them, right?
Yep.
So when you say, oh, I don't can't remember what was on that list, but you remember the nuts and bolts.
Well, because we just raised money for her, like I have, like, I think maybe skydiving was one, honestly, like stuff like that. And then enough money to take a trip because she had never seen the ocean.
Yeah, I remember doing that. And I remember reaching out to like skydiving places and telling them the story and their generosity shining through in certain moments, right? So we've done a lot of that stuff. And, Home for the Holidays is something we do. And again, if Sam's just relatively new, Home for the Holidays every Christmas. That started as a real grassroots initiative where we just heard from a woman named Anna who, for some reason or another, wanted to buy a plane ticket for somebody who wanted to go home for the holidays.
The season can get you.
Yeah. And it was amazing. And then somebody heard it. And then they said, well, I would like to also buy a ticket. And next thing you know, it was completely crowdsourced that we were sending people home for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And then it became like an annual tradition on our show. Yeah. And now it's got a whole infrastructure to it and a whole thing where, you know, selecting people it's almost a full-time job come the holidays.
Yeah, season. There's a lot.
And that's always a difficult part when you do things that are generous is like, and I imagine, Robbie, you're on the front lines because you are the in control of the Robbie Fund, because most nice things do cost some sort of investment of time or money.
Yeah. And I wish the Robbie Fund was huge.
Right.
I mean,
you get
that.
A lot of messages from people, and it's hard to say like, well, we only have so much, or not that your cause doesn't matter, but yeah, it's tough, right?
When the requests I get, it's just like, my goodness, I couldn't even make a dent in what you're asking, and it would empty the Robbie Fund.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's essentially, it was made just, you know, more like local fund initiatives as it progressed. But yeah, I wish we could do more, but it is what it is.
There's been moments of catastrophe, right? Like
fires.
Fires and fires in homes and fires
sometimes
in towns.
Sometimes the fires, I'd be okay. Yeah, I'd love to, like, maybe we'll pay for your insurance for next time kind of thing. So we do have to kind of be picky and choosy about who we pick.
It's hard. It's hard to say, sorry, but the problem you're going through isn't problem enough, or it's too big of a problem for us to handle sometimes. But that's kind of, you create that, the good nature of it sometimes creates a monster that you have to manage in that way. But we're always open to all of that. The one, though, look at Dylan. He's kind of just going like, all right, get on with it here.
Come on, get to the story.
There are two that pop into my mind. One, Dylan remembers completely. And Robbie, I don't think you weren't on the show, I think, when this happened.
I think when I was a producer nationally.
Right.
And so, I left for that year.
Yeah, there was some time when Robbie wasn't on the show, and this one happened, and we couldn't believe it. And in a way, we want to say, like, we couldn't believe, I mean, as callous as it might say, we couldn't believe our luck, but we also, like, couldn't believe that we were the person to turn to. So there are two stories. One, Dylan remembers. The other one, Dylan refuses to admit happens. He thinks I'm making it up, but he doesn't remember it. And it was verified today by several people in the audience that remember it clear as day. So we'll get to that one in a moment. But the one that you do remember was, and this isn't like a sad, well, it's sad. How would you describe it, Dylan?
I don't think it fits what Sam was asking is the only problem. It's a great scenario that happened to us, and it was fun to listen along, as bad as that sounds.
Interesting to listen along to.
Yeah.
You couldn't turn away from it.
I just don't think it was like someone that, I didn't feel horribly bad for them. I actually felt like, we were there to help out in a situation, and good we were, and good that it happened the way that it did. I mean, it was, I still to this day question whether or not it's real.
Right. We felt that we were so, being put on.
But it was because we ended up meeting the person a week or two later. Had we not met the person, I wouldn't have believed
you
it.
You still wouldn't believe it?
No, I don't think so.
We received a phone call, and this is how I knew that it wasn't, like, this is how you can tell that this wasn't a faked stunt by our show,
right?
Because it happened at like 9:15,
ah,
right? If it was a stunt by the show, it would have happened at 7:15, you know?
Right.
But it happened at 9:15, and we received a phone call from a guy. It was bizarre, right? I think he might have texted, and we called him back because we couldn't believe it, but he was trailing his wife, whom he suspected on having an affair. And he was finally, I guess that was the day that he was going to follow and see if his suspicions were correct.
Well, he had the car in his sights at a place that wasn't where
it was parked out front of a house. And right. He was like, wait a second.
What do I do here?
Right.
Right.
So he trailed her and found her parked in this certain, out in front of this strange house. And he asked us what the right thing to do was. And we were kind of stuck because I think your instant reaction, because it's just juicy, is like, well, go in there. Let's create a scene live on the radio.
Right.
And we were ready to do that. But then we realized, like, this could be like, this is a massive moment in this, the all of these people that are involved in their lives. And we're go ahead and exploiting it on the radio. But he did come to us and wanted our advice.
But could have ended in murder.
Right.
I don't know, maybe.
Just broken hearts and just awful. And here it is playing out live on the radio. Live on the radio.
Yeah.
So there was a pause for some reason. And again, this is just our bad record keeping at the time. Robbie, did you hear this play out when it happened? Because you weren't part of the show at the time.
I don't think I was. I was here for a different one. When we the van one? When you
Yeah.
That's way different. No,
there was a van parked in the parking lot across the street from our old radio station, and they were there every day, and Dylan finally had to, or Robbie decided he would go and confront them because you thought that they were spying on you.
It just looked like they kept looking at me through the window because they were there every morning. I thought, I'm going to end up with like getting shot or something.
It turned out they were just carpooling, and then that was the meeting place to go to work together every day.
Seemed suspicious at the time.
Right. I don't remember the cheating one as much.
Case.
It could have been for any reason.
So it played out over the course of like three segments. And I don't know why that was. I can't remember. We had a music mandate at the time, I think was one of them. And then another one was, I think he had to do some things to get into position or something. And he needed to really think about things. So we gave him time to think. Our audience at the time that was listening was like on the edge of their seat, wondering what was going on. And we didn't know what was going to happen either.
Right.
And so it got to the point where he was at the house and he entered the house, right?
He knocked on the door or entered the house. He did go in.
He entered the house because I remember live as this was playing out, I was really torn because I was like, we could, assuming at the time, I think it was all easy to assume that it was the bedroom. We could follow him into this strange house bedroom where his wife's car is parked out front and we could hear it come. We could hear the caught red-handed moment live on the radio.
Which is what we all wanted.
Of course. And we had to show a little bit of like, I don't know, restraint, respect, discipline. And we decided to kind of go off the air and let him do it on his own without, you know, what was probably thousands of people listening live in the moment, experiencing it at the same time. It's a decision. I never know if it was it was certainly the humane thing to do.
Right.
But
respectful.
I don't know if it was necessarily the payoff thing to do for what was the juiciness of it all, right?
No, but in my head, I just kept thinking, like, well, we could legitimately hear a gunshot.
Yeah, be witness to something awful.
Like, you don't know if the guy's going to attack you, if they're going to fight, like, if they're bigger than you.
That's where your head went, right?
Yeah, like, because, like, at that point, it's just like, this is awkward because we're here and now we're kind of responsible.
You're kind of encouraging him.
Right? Sending him into this house to potentially fight or who knows what
might
happen.
I can see the headline, radio hosts get guy killed.
Yeah.
Right? It could have.
Yeah, honestly.
We didn't want that. So I think, we went off the air and then back on the air. After the fact.
Right. So we let him play out the confrontation in a manner of with some decorum of privacy, right? So we did that, and we waited a while, and we called him back probably 15 minutes later as a guest, and he was obviously quite upset, quite hurt, and he saw what we all. It kind of helped us connect the dots without hearing the dots being connected.
Right.
But it was exactly the way you would connect the dots. It was exactly what we all thought. And he was really, really obviously hurt, wounded, torn, shocked, angry, all the feelings.
Probably relieved in some way, right? Knowing that, like, hey, my suspicions was right.
His suspicions were true, yeah. And just, but shock more than anything, right? Shock and anger, I'm assuming, would be the first things that would come.
It makes sense.
And then that was kind of it. The next day, we got him back on the air, and we kind of played through and did what we're kind of doing a little more efficiently on the air, but we had him on, and he kind of relived, and we talked about how he was doing then. And then that was kind of it. And, you know, we told him, like, we were empathetic about it, and we felt for him and those sort of things, but we still, once it all kind of ended and we moved on to other things, we always kind of felt like, did that really happen? Because really, when you're in the line of work that we're in, and, you know, at the time, you know, things were a little different on the air with our show, and that we were hearing from, it was just, there was a weird time where everything just seemed to be extreme, and we couldn't believe, like, in a way, like, as callous as it is to say, we couldn't believe our luck in a way. Like, oh my God, why did this person come to us? How could we? And that's why we thought we were being put on.
Right.
Like, you have said, Dylan, that you thought, because we were in an era, and I don't know if it still exists as much as it used to, but we were in an era, it does still exist.
There's fake stuff.
In an era where a lot of radio shows were hiring actors to help create their content. And that was always being pushed on us, and we were always, you know, digging our heels in and trying to go against it. And you thought for a moment that that might have been management doing something without us knowing they were doing it, that it was actors without us knowing.
Right, because I just assumed that if you were in management and you wanted people to use actors,
right,
the best way to get them to use them would be not to tell them.
Right.
You would just, hey, make actors happen. We would just be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Now, so I would have still believed that to this day, today that they hired somebody. Had he not come in a week or two later,
he came in
coffee.
A week later and brought us coffee. Yes, yeah. He came in to say thank you, and we talked. And he had begun his healing process. He was still pretty emotional about everything,
but I think happy to be out of it.
Yes,
knowing that that's the type of person he was with,
and he hung out with us in the studio for longer than most do, to the point where it was like we were done, I think, and we didn't know. Like, he wanted a friend. And so we kind of hung out with him, and we stayed in touch with him quite a bit after that for a while to see how he was doing. And he was a really decent guy, and I think he healed fine. And I think, like, we got updates about him moving on, and we got to follow along with that. And then it just kind of, you know, it played its course. But that's when we knew, oh, holy crap, this is real.
Yeah.
And we felt, I agree with you, Dylan. Like, I felt there was part of me that thought, oh, somebody's planting this call. It can't be real.
Because he was driving in the moment, right? You got to remember, he's driving in the moment going, like, guys, I'm going to the house right now.
Yeah, like,
I'm about to arrive up.
I'm going to call a radio show to let him know. It's weird, right?
What are you doing here?
But it turned out that was completely it. Another one that was a much happier kind of story was when there was a guy who every, was it once a week or was it every morning?
Tim Hortons?
He would go to Tim Hortons. He became known as Tim Hortons guy on the radio show. Was this you, Robbie, or this was also?
This was me.
This was you.
I believe this was Jay. Was this not Jay?
Dave, Jay?
It was Tim Hortons. Guy is how we got to know him, because
now I know him as Jay.
He was really attracted to a woman that was always there at the same time he was, but he was very shy and uncomfortable and wasn't confident to approach women. So he went to Mr. Confidence over there and asked for Dylan's advice and help and encouragement and support to try and approach this woman and ask her to go on a date for coffee, whatever.
Yeah.
And it finally did happen. It took some encouraging. It wasn't something that happened.
He waited
immediately.
Like 2 days.
2 days, three days
or something. Yeah. Waited.
And then he finally asked her, and she said no, shot him down. And the whole world's heart broke for this guy.
Yeah.
Because people were just, they felt so sorry for him.
Yeah.
But then he ended up finding somebody through our show who felt for him so much that we connected him. They really hit it off. We got invited to their wedding.
Yeah.
I went to the wedding.
Oh.
they have kids now.
Right.
And it was a real happily ever after. So that was one that really sticks out.
Are they
out.
Still together now?
For some reason, I think they're not.
Let me see if I still have him in my phone.
Yeah, if you remember him, because I thought his name was Jay.
I thought Dave, but you know better than I. I don't know why I'm even saying anything.
And they did have kids. We called them Timbits.
Right.
Yep. I do not have Tim Hortons guy in my phone anymore. So I don't know how. He might have been Dave or Jay. I feel bad not remembering his name. Not in here.
Tim Hortons guy.
Anyway, yeah, they got married, and I'm not sure where they are right now, but Marika and I went to the wedding, and it was a small little wedding in a little hamlet just outside of Edmonton, about 45 minutes away, and it was cute. It was really sweet.
That is nice.
But that's not necessarily what Sam was getting at. This is the best one that Dylan refuses to believe.
Not refuses to believe, just know that it didn't happen that way.
So... And the audience supported it this morning because when you were saying, that didn't happen, I don't remember that. But remember, too, like I said, as an example, that we did a whole like season of shows when they were renovating our studio where we had to do it in a different studio. And you don't remember that happening.
That is true.
You don't remember 3.5 months every day doing a show in a different studio.
But the thing with this call is I remember the call happening. Mm-hmm. It's just you embellish the result.
We had a person... In the 6 a.m. hour, completely out of nowhere, who was in the hospital and was being taken off of their ventilator to pass away that morning.
Yes. Now, the reason that it doesn't line up with the story is that is something that happened. I know that. I'm not denying that. But you say they died on the air, and that's not true.
They did.
They wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have taken the ventilator off wall on air.
They wanted, the person was, and it, I wish we had audio of this.
Me too.
This was before we were archiving properly. The person was obviously really big fan of the show, and we appreciate those types of relationships that we can make. And sometimes, truthfully, like my fiance or family members have to remind me sometimes on like how some people really, really care about this show, because sometimes I just think it's us being goofs.
Yeah.
And who can possibly like it, right? But some people are just really, really connected with it, and probably in emotional times, this person was in the hospital listening to the radio every morning.
Were they trying to say bye to something?
They wanted to say bye to their friend on the air who was out of town, had moved away or something, and they wanted to make sure that they got that message, so they had them listening online, something like that, and that their friend was also with them at the time at their deathbed side, to remove the ventilator. And they wanted to say goodbye was the last thing they wanted to do to their friend and to us on the radio. So our first segment with them was, we talked, and they were very hard to hear and understand because they required a ventilator. So we were talking to them through a ventilator.
I don't know if you can talk through a ventilator.
It wasn't the best audio quality.
I remember it was hard to hear.
It was very gravelly. I don't know if the ventilator had maybe been moved away or something, but they were... So it was hard to hear. And of course, they were short of breath. They were dying, for God's sake, right?
Right.
So, but they got it out, and we didn't hurry them along. Imagine if we'd been like, can you cut to the chase here?
Well,
we've got a commercial we need to play. We didn't do that, but we gave them their time, and they talked about how they had, for the past few weeks in the hospital, been listening to the show and really feeling connected to the show, because I imagine that's a very lonely moment and a very scary moment to live out. And to have something that just some sort of comfort would probably be quite valuable. So they expressed that to us. And they also said that they had a friend that was listening on the other side of the country. And they wanted to say how much they mean to them and goodbye to them. And we were getting a lot of that via text, because they were texting us because they were very hard to understand, right? So we would read their text and then kind of talk to them. And we were getting just kind of one or two syllable whispering gravelly responses. And they wanted to have their life support or their ventilator removed while saying goodbye to their friend who was listening.
That I don't believe.
It happened. And I couldn't believe it was happening, because I remember being torn about, like, is this something we want to put on the air or not? But it was their literal dying request. for us to put it on the air. And I remember messaging with them because they were messaging. And I don't know if it was the person that was with them that was actually messaging, but they were messaging saying, no, I absolutely want to do this. This is my dying request, because I felt uncomfortable putting somebody dying on the air, even though they wanted to say over the air and confess, because I think they had had a bit of a conflict in their life, which is the reason that the person moved or something. And they wanted to let them know before they passed that all is good, that they loved them, and that they were going to see them again on the other side. So we did it. And it was the strangest moment of my life. And that's why I remember it so clearly, because I cannot think of anything that even compares to how strange that was, and how the emotions I felt were not sadness as much as they were like, because we were on the air, and the whole time I'm like, is this the right thing to do?
I think it's a telephone situation where you're filling in the blanks of these memories to fit the narrative that you wanted it to be, because they didn't die on the air. I know that, like, we lost connection with them, and you're like, oh, they died on the air. Like, they didn't die on the air. Like, they weren't dying at that moment. They were dying that day, probably. But a doctor wouldn't have, while they're on the phone, taken out a ventilator.
Right. But it's kind of out of the doctor's control at that point.
I am still at this point equally as confused about it as I was that day on how the whole protocol went to happen.
Yeah, it was weird.
I so vividly remember it happening while we were on the air, and me getting in my own head and just wondering, like, again, is this really happening? I think because one of our blind spots, and like I said, like, my fiance has to remind me sometimes that, like, people really, really do care about this radio show, and they can see that we really, really care about our audience. And I need to be reminded of that. So oftentimes I'll get in my own head thinking about, like, why? What do we do? We just come to work every day, right? But sometimes it's bigger than that. And it was a moment like that. And I just remember unbelievably puzzled by what we were witness to, but also I felt like warmth by the fact that we were honoring somebody's literal dying wish. So I kind of felt the whole time, while it's our job to make sure something on the air doesn't happen, that, and look, people will complain about anything, although I don't think we got a single complaint about that. Not a single one.
It's hard to complain when someone's dying.
It's true. Like, you got to be a special kind of awful, right? Yeah. But the fact that it was the dying wish probably is what bought us a little bit of that, opportunity. And I just felt like, God, well, here we go. And I remember, like, and I remember the rest of the day being, being in just a kind of fog about constantly going back to that, going like, did that just happen? Now, to address what you're saying, Dylan, there is part of me that felt like it was just a dream because it was so surreal. Surreal is the perfect word. But I remember that feeling so vividly while it was happening. And I still have never completely, I swear up and down, just as you do, that it didn't happen. I swear up and down that it did. Mm-hmm. But today, when the audience responded, yeah, we had three or four of them that messaged saying they remember that as well.
But this is,
I thought,
all,
there it is. Like, there is the proof that it actually happened.
You can put anything out there that will make people remember, though, because, like, they're not paying that close attention to what's happening. So they're like, yeah, the person that died on the air, because we probably were at the end of that segment, came back with, like, oh, we just had someone die on the air, which wasn't necessarily true. We just lost connection with someone that was dying.
So you think that the phone died?
Hung up or whatever the case may be. They didn't die on the, because here's why it didn't happen that way. And here's why I know for a fact that it didn't, and that you've made this up in your head some ways. Because had they died, we would have heard
from the beep beep thing
when someone dies. Secondly, they had a person right beside them. They probably would have grabbed the phone and gone, like, hey guys, I think
that,
but
did that not happen?
No.
Did they not say that?
No, it was just like, it just went silent. And that was the problem.
Possibly, but I also feel like if, I remember Pepper saying something like he heard a noise on the air.
There was a noise, yes.
Like a noise, and then you couldn't get a hold.
Yeah, the phone just died.
And then you never heard from the person again. They didn't respond.
No.
You couldn't get a hold of them again.
Sure.
For the rest of time.
But then, I mean, the truth be told, this could be us getting put on, right? Like, I don't know. This could be somebody messing with us, but
it's just like Dead Doug. Yeah. Remember Dead Doug?
Not my Doug.
Not
the
your
other
Doug.
Yeah.
No, not
the
your
Doug under the tree?
Yeah.
The Doug who had a tree fall on him. And so
he called us and said he was dying?
No, yes. He called us saying that his life has been greatly shortened by his paraplegic for being paralyzed.
There was an accident. A tree fell on something.
Because he was protecting
someone. He had to lift this tree off and he ruined his body.
Yeah.
It's never been the same. He's struggling. And he thought he was going to die soon.
So his promise was, because we held him to a promise.
He's going to haunt us.
He's going to haunt us. And we'll once and for all know if haunting is real because Doug accepted that.
Right.
He promised us.
But it was like months and months later we would hear from him and like, I don't know if he ever died. Like,
still not dead.
Well, we just kept checking on.
Yeah, and you said he hasn't been on Facebook for a while?
Let me look.
Well, a lot of people haven't been on Facebook for a while, so that doesn't mean too much. But Doug, you had him, right? Did Doug die finally? Sorry, I don't mean that, Doug. I mean, like...
finally!
No, but like...
and again, not my Doug. My friend Doug, he died.
Yeah. That's a horrible story.
It was sad. It's terrible. I don't want to get into it. Yeah, it's Doug awful. Died. Awful.
Yeah, I don't see Doug on Facebook.
Well, then there's no such thing as haunting. That's the only conclusion I can come to.
Which isn't ideal.
Yeah.
So there's no afterlife.
That's right. So we've proven that. Productive show.
big proven moments.
So it's one of the few things that Dylan and I will never come to agree on.
It's just because it's such a big deal that if it happened,
it's insane.
I wouldn't have forgotten.
I agree with you. This is why I don't understand why you don't remember it.
But it wouldn't have. It didn't happen. I'm not saying that some of the things you were saying are not real. Because I know that some of them are. But I think that you thinking they died on air did not happen. Died that day, possibly.
We were the last people they spoke to.
Very possible.
They got the message to their friend on the other side of the country.
I'm not saying that, but like to actually have them take their last breath while on the phone, what did not happen. We didn't hear doctors rush in.
Well, do they have the bee?
That's not necessarily going to have to happen.
Wait, if they're on a ventilator?
I've never been there when somebody's died in front of me. I don't know if the thing goes bee.
Plus, I don't think you can talk while you're on a ventilator. So they wouldn't have been on a ventilator.
Well, to be totally honest with you, I can't remember. I don't even know what a ventilator is.
See, and this is where you're getting your story, messed up.
It was something that they had on that was helping them breathe.
But for so many years, you tell the story and then you kind of elaborate on the story and you tell the story again.
So you think that I've been building up the story in my own head.
Much like when you got at the Circle K. Which we proved to you.
I almost got murdered at the Circle K.
He could have been murdered that day.
But
he could be murdered today.
You have gone through, like the detectives that you are, the timeline, and it has made a little bit of sense.
Right.
Maybe. Now, here's what I'll say about the whole I almost got murdered at the Circle K, which was a max, by the way.
Sorry.
Here's what I will say. It was still a close call, but not as close as maybe I thought it was.
You said I was a moment away from getting killed.
Yeah.
If he decided to come in
seconds
early
away.
That day,
right.
If he did decide to come in early, it could have been a risk.
No one's wasting a bullet on him.
I stopped to get coffee at the Max every morning, and I was running late that day, and I went in, pulled into the parking lot to get coffee at the Max.
I don't
just
even think
down
this is
the
real,
street
Robbie.
From here.
He wouldn't get Max every day. He hates Max coffee.
No, I was getting Max coffee for a while.
Come on.
I was, yeah.
You know why I believe that? Because when we did the blind taste test.
He didn't know the difference?
He picked his favorite as the Circle K Max
Circle
coffee.
that's what happened.
Over
and
the
I
Starbucks.
Pulled in to get my coffee that day, and there was police tape and police, and we later found out that there was a robbery and the shopkeeper had been shot to death.
But what we did find out later on through our investigation and our investigative process is that once they have tape up and their police
They've
are there
been
like
there
an
while.
Hour and a half
right,
outside
right.
of
so,
it.
And that's when I've admitted that, okay, maybe I was an hour and
I
a
know,
half away.
I know, but you for years told
because
us.
I didn't know that it took that long to get the police tape up.
All
I assumed I was just minutes late. And then once I found out that it's quite the process to tape it off and the investigators
By
come.
By the time they get there.
Okay, so it took a little time. I was maybe an hour late. Or an hour away.
Yeah, had you woke up at maybe
still,
two.
When was the last time you were an hour away from being shot to death?
Yeah. It's hard to say.
I don't know.
That could have been at any moment.
That is too close for comfort. if anything.
Yeah, I mean, it still rattles me a little bit. But let me tell you, every time I drive through that crazy weird intersection where the McDonald's is and the Max or the Circle K is, and you have to yield to who, I don't know, what is it called? The Island Max or whatever, or yeah. The Island McDonald's?
It's like 109th Street yeah. and Argyle.
Yeah, because it's that Max right there or the Circle K right there. Every time I drive past it, Dylan, with somebody in my car, mm-hmm. whether they've heard the story 1,000 times or never heard it, that's the story I tell.
Would you say I almost died?
I would say that when you drive past that with somebody in your car, you should say, hey, I work with a guy that almost got shot to death.
No.
There. You should.
No.
Robbie, is that a story for you to tell?
I do tell people.
That's a good
slap in the face.
It's a good story.
To the person that died.
Oh, well, I wasn't as close as they were.
No. No, I don't think you can say close to death when you weren't.
It's the closest I've been. The only time I've been closer to death was when we had that person on the phone who died on the air.
I'm telling you, it didn't.
So there have been a lot of moments where we've really been touched or connected or felt like, but really a lot of the time it feels like, and this is going to sound really awful, and it's probably not the right way to say it, but we can't believe our luck. And what I mean by that would be, I can't believe our luck to be in a position where so many people have at one point or another come to us for help or care or love or need or expression.
And they're just so willing to share.
Willing yeah. to share and thinking that we can help or asking us for our help. And we do our best to return that favor because it's a great deal. It's like, my God, how can we not appreciate that we are the go-to for some people in moments of need or
yes.
hurt or pain or healing? And so to answer Sam's question in the best way possible, those are the ones that come to my mind right away.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Robbie got to raise funds for somebody's bucket list, which was beautiful.
That was great.
We're getting people putting ashes of loved ones in the show urn.
That's my favorite thing.
Right?
I love it so much. I mean, I got in an argument with a friend recently who's just like, I don't know if that's the best thing you guys should be doing. And I was like, I love it. I think it's so great. And some people aren't as comfortable with death. I understand that. I'm not saying I'm sitting here comfortable
with
death.
Some people are so uncomfortable with death, they forget when it happens live on their radio show.
Robbie, if you were there, you would know that it didn't happen that way. You know how he embellishes.
I know how he embellishes, but...
not with that one.
It's never fabricated out of nothing.
I was speechless.
No, it's not out of nothing. I'm saying that there was something happening. That I'm not denying that something happened that morning. I'm denying that they died on air.
You're saying the one thing that didn't happen was that they passed on.
Yeah, they took their final breath and that was it.
While we were live on the air.
No, because someone would have grabbed the phone from them. We would have heard people talking in the background.
That's the one part I can't remember. I think somebody did, but I can't remember.
No. You would remember that because you'd be like, did they just die? And they'd be like, yeah, kind of. Like, we got to deal with this.
No, because we knew it was happening.
Yeah, but you would still ask, did they just die?
It was weird. It was really strange.
You'd now hear a doctor, you'd hear someone.
Maybe. And you're saying you'd hear the machines? But if the doctor pulls the plug, he's unplugging it.
But the doctor wouldn't be pulling the plug while you're on the phone.
I don't think it's a plug out of the wall pull.
They do in the movies.
Well, that's the problem, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Dylan, I'm not going to fully deny that. Because now it's like the person that swears they've been abducted by a UFO.
Right.
Nobody really knows.
It could be dreaming.
And now you're planting this doubt in me that I'm like, because it's so unbelievable that it happened, I want to believe you. Because I want to think that they, but then but I really truly believe to my memory. And then we had people say today, they're like, yep, I remember that too.
I know, but of course, because they probably heard us over years talk about this story. And
but we never replayed that one. The right thing is that
because we don't have the audio. If we had the audio,
we would have had the audio that day and we never saved it because we thought the right thing was
and
to
you
make
would
that
know.
Moment.
What are you talking about? You would save the audio.
This time, this morning on the Pepper and Dylan show.
Right, we couldn't do that.
Somebody died.
Well, we would not have done that.
We've got this show's done worse. We would have done that 100%.
Replaying
the
moment somebody died on the air.
We've talked about it numerous times.
I wish we did just so we would have the obvious evidence
too.
Right now.
You don't think that friend would ever have called in and gone anything? Nothing.
For the record,
yeah.
For the record,
yes.
I will say this. Okay. And truthfully, there are parts now that you're asking me that I'm like, yeah, why would that, right?
Right.
Like, I can't remember.
See, logic.
No, I know. I am saying, for the record,
okay.
If for whatever reason, at any time in the next decade, somehow It comes, we get a replay of it. We get the absolute God's honest replay of what happened. And it turns out you were right.
Yes.
I will not fight it or argue it.
Good.
Like, maybe. But I think it should go the other way as well. I won't I told you so you. I will just say, I remember that's how it went. Or, God, you're right. I was totally in the living in the moment. I still don't know, but every fiber of my memory, and that was back when I had a kick-ass memory.
You were drinking.
No, that was before the drinking.
You were still drinking before the drinking.
True, but it was before the drinking was a drinking, you know? But Robbie, you remember my memory. I could remember the time everything happened. That's why, and you were always a little fuzzy.
I'm not denying that I was.
So but this is the problem, is your history is going against you on this one, just as my history is going for me on this one.
Sure.
Right? Our credibility is murking this up even
more.
But
all I'm saying is, let's use logic. Like, I love to use logic.
This is why you've got me second-guessing it now already.
If we can use logic to this, like, let's say we're both not right, mm-hmm. and if we use logic, there's no way on the air they died. But there is a way for your story to make almost as much sense.
They died the minute we got off the air.
They died that day.
So here's what we'll say.
They died later on. They were on the air and dying.
So here's the things we can verify. They were dying. That was their dying wish. They had their dying wish. They said what they wanted to say to their friend and to our show.
I agree with that.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the one thing we don't know is, did they die on the air mm-hmm. or did they die right after we ended that segment?
Right, and hospitals, like, a lot of time, they don't have the best cell phone signal. Maybe they quickly hung up as the doctor walked in because you're not supposed to be on a cell phone.
Like, I feel like if it's your last day and you're just getting your goodbyes and getting all your affairs in order, though, then the doctor's going to be like, you can do that.
Impossible.
We'll mute this beep beep thing.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't see that happening, personally. But, I mean, the story without the conclusion is still just as good.
It's amazing.
You just don't have to say the conclusion because I think that leads into a way that might, that sounds a little fake.
So to answer Sam's request for ask us anything, right? Sam, that without a doubt is the most memorable moment that I have when it comes to an emotional connection that surprised us. How it ended will be a thing.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Unless the spirit of that listener is listening.
That's what we got to go
haunt
for.
Us.
That's right. We need
show
a
us a sign.
That's
haunt
right.
us. Somehow.
Flick the lights right now.
Oh, but then we'd argue over the lights flicking.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're never going to
see the lights would flick right now, and you'd be like, "Oh, that's just got to be an electric short."
No, possibly. Yeah, we'll never get to the bottom of it.
If we ever hear a random beeping on the air,
okay.
If it's anytime soon,
okay.
Some sort of beeping.
So now you're assigning rules and regulations to the haunting.
Just to please, spirit, if you're out there. Show us.
We'll do it right now.
It takes time to get in the ether.
Yeah.
They're already in the ether.
There's a
it's
lot
not
of,
magic. It's got to go through less spirit ears.
It's a process.
Okay. Okay.
It takes time to travel.
Or just the friend that was on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Or the friend that was there.
The friend that was there.
Or the nurse or the doctor. I don't know anybody.
The friend that was there.
And if I'm wrong, I'll say it. I'll admit it I'm wrong. And I won't feel any shame or embarrassment at it all.
I won't either. The friend would have called. The friend would have said, like, if you died and I was the friend, I would have been like, grab the phone. I'd be like, hey, guys, I think they died. I got to let you go.
I know that.
I'll talk to you later.
But why was there a friend with them?
But they might have been alone is the thing.
I think they were alone. Why else wouldn't they tell
the friend? He's the one saying there's a friend.
Because how are they texting?
Why would they be texting
and holding
while
the phone? Didn't somebody need to hold a phone?
This is where I'm giving
more credence to your... The fact is someone died on the air. Or someone died
near the air.
So to answer your question, Sam, there is the answer to your question. It would also, Sam, if you followed it up with, what is the one thing you wish you could have audio evidence of to play it back today and hear how it all played out? That would also answer that one.
Yeah.
And if you asked, what will be the world's biggest I told you so from one of you to the other?
Oh,
it would probably be that one. Although we've promised not to I told you so if we're wrong.
We can't. And then, like you said, like your evidence this morning with people texting going, I remember that. I love you for texting this morning. I'm not calling you a liar, but I think like over time, something that's not as meaningful to you just becomes, I think I heard, like you could ask Robbie, something we talked about last week, and he'll give you the, I think you guys were saying something like this, and then like, this has been like 10 years.
It's like hard. I'm watching all the old WrestleManias and SummerSlams on Netflix, because I just found out that they were all available.
Yeah.
And seeing how terrible they were when I was a kid, I thought they were amazing.
Exactly.
So it's the reverse of that.
Kinda.
But I find like big events like that, traumatizing things, for lack of a better word, they stick in your mind better.
I'm so vivid in my recollection.
I feel like Pepper's sitting there, oh no, should we be airing this?
But I was there too.
And in his mind, I think it would have just been this big deal ingrained on his mind. Whereas you were like, yeah, what time is it?
I think we've had Marika on, and Marika has not agreed with it.
Here's why, because she couldn't come on.
Why?
Because of who she works for now. It's why we could never talk to her about it. I do have the last text from Marika.
Yeah, it was something
when
like
I asked her about
it. I think maybe.
She's as foggy as any of us.
Here's Marika.
Right, she's not going to remember. None of us are going to remember. She just wants to give him the information.
Does that mean I've been blocked?
No, I think just after so long.
Oh, okay. Maybe. There's no history. I can't go to that one then. Okay.
Look, see, it's really not working in your favor. All of a sudden, everything's been deleted.
But I wish we could access her archive, because she would have maybe saved that.
Is no one going to talk about the most crazy thing that's ever happened on this show ever?
Which was?
That is 100% true.
Hmm.
That is the saddest of everything.
Hmm.
No one?
The saddest?
I'm trying to think of what you're getting at.
Craziest?
When Robbie went on a raft near the river?
Oh my God.
I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, I'm fine. But that is like the most legit, like, gotta be helpless, like, oh my God feeling ever.
Oh, that was just.
That was like real.
That's not show related, but
it never happened. We never talked about it on the air, right? We never did.
We never did talk about it on the air?
No. Okay. Just that Robbie.
Because I didn't. I purposely didn't tell you guys.
Yeah, but it happened while you were on the air.
Yep.
That's the whole thing. We didn't talk about it on air, but while you were on air, you were dealing with that off the air at the same time while you were on the air trying to be cheerful and fun.
Yeah.
Robbie was witness to something. And I will back away. I don't know if you want to
relive
this.
I'm fine talking about it.
Okay, so we were planning an event or a stunt or whatever you call it, where Robbie was going to build his own raft and raft
down the river.
It was the craft raft. Dylan, in the challenge days, Dylan's like, make a raft.
Yeah.
You can float down the North Saskatchewan River. Not spending a dollar just by finding garbage.
Impressive what you did,
sourcing
by the way.
Things out. So like in the course of like a month.
It was impressive.
It really was. I loved it.
I like collected things, rain barrels, whatever it was for free.
And
I
built a raft.
A raft that was able to float me from like one end of the city to the other.
Now you were at this infamous day that this happened.
Like the day before the week of.
You were scoping out launch areas on where the best place to launch your craft raft, right?
So I was just looking. I was kind of down by just down by the river, looking where I could drive up to with this raft to put it in.
But we weren't. And again, see, this is why like things get foggy. But you were on the air with us, talking to us while. Trying to deal with this at the same time.
Well, he was trying to deal with
100%.
It. From my memory was that we talked to you and then you
it
were going to...
It was in between phone calls.
That's right.
Guys.
And then we were going to call you back. And when we called you back before we went on the air,
Robbie.
I had Robbie on the handset that I was holding and talking to Robbie to be like, hey, we're going on the air in like a minute here, was a different Robbie. And truthfully, I don't know if we've ever had the old Robbie back since then. And how would we? Because Robbie was like, oh my God. Guys, you wouldn't believe it.
No.
But that's all we got.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say what happened.
No, he didn't say anything
because
that morning until he got back.
Because I knew you guys would just roll with it.
And
what happened? What are you doing? Oh, my God. And it would become part of the show.
Right.
And I did not know how to handle it because there's police everywhere.
The reason we know that it is 100% true is because Robbie brought back the police report into the meeting.
Yes.
That's right.
I did.
And so he just handed it to us and said, read this. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. I think Robbie said something along the lines of after that second call, I think he was like, I'm going to be here for a while. I don't think I'm going to be able to talk. There's been a thing and the police are here.
I don't think
I
said that.
Something like that.
Because, no, I remember, I didn't say a thing to you guys.
See, this is how you forget things.
I didn't say a word.
You're not doing well for me.
No, I'm just saying.
Because I didn't know the legalities. I didn't know if it was a privacy thing or what. Like, I didn't know what to do. So I just tried to just be as curt with you as possible. And just like get through the conversations as quick as possible.
So
when you
could
guys
go off and do your things.
And then I remember getting back. I told our boss because we had a meeting.
No, sorry. What I mean is I thought after we were done the phone call on the air, you said, okay, I'm not going to be able to talk for a little while. There's a bunch of stuff going on. But you didn't tell us exactly what
I really tried not to because I know how we do things.
Right, because you would have called them right back.
Because I didn't end up calling you again. I remember that that was it for a while, right?
Right.
We didn't talk to you.
I remember just being, okay, good, they're busy. They're distracted with something else. And it wasn't really something you guys were following along with that big that morning?
No, it was a
smaller thing. Looking for a location. It was just a chance for me to get out. There was a lot going on. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to derail the show with this or get in your guys' minds. I'll wait till the show's over to tell you.
Good choice on your part, because as much as we shouldn't have, there's a chance we might have.
I don't know if we would have on this one.
But we might have.
So if you're listening to this going, get on with it. What was it, Robbie? What was it?
So I was, like I said, looking for a location to launch this raft. And I was down by the river under the Quesnel Bridge, mm-hmm. where the Talus Balls are.
Yeah.
Because I heard, okay, that's a good spot. People launch their kayaks. So I drive down there. I'm under the Quesnel Bridge waiting, kind of where you would go into Fort Edmonton. And I'm standing there waiting for you guys to call me. And to the side of me, I just see this figure fall from the bridge.
Oh, God.
And I just see this, at the corner of my eye, this figure drop in this thud I'll never forget.
Oh, no.
This sound.
A scream or no scream?
No scream. Just a thud. Like something you would hear in a video game when a body drops out of an airplane.
Okay. Oh, God.
This is so bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tune out if you're uncomfortable
Triggered,
with this.
Yeah.
But I look over and I see this body and it just deflates.
Oh.
The life left the body in front of your eyes.
It's like I saw the life leave
How
the
close
body.
Were you?
It was maybe within 50 meters. Like very, very close. Maybe 30 to 50 meters.
Here he goes giving metric measurements again when it comes to that. I have no idea what that is.
What do you want, yards?
3 miles? Yeah, yards, feet.
Miles? You're not going to know what a mile is.
I don't know what a mile is either.
And I was just shocked.
And there was a jogger, right? Wasn't there a lady that was jogging by?
There was women down maybe half a kilometer down the road. They got
out. See, that one I know. Weirdly.
They got out and they just start screaming.
Well, yeah.
Screaming. And I had no idea what happened.
And then your phone rang, right? At this point, right? Your phone rang and it was us trying to go on the
very
air.
Very close to it.
A bunch of whimsical goofballs.
What's it like down there?
So I run over. I'm pretty sure I just ran closer to ladies. I'm like, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I call. I'm just immediately, I got on the phone with 911.
Right.
And then I think that's when you called.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, damn it. So I stopped you. They asked me to go up, verify.
Oh, God.
And you said
you can't put somebody in that position.
Well, I went up. I'm like, no, yeah, I can. The state of this, I'm pretty sure he is no longer living. They just wanted me to verify, if it was he a man.
Did you have to touch for pulse or no?
No, because I could, it was obvious.
Right.
The skull.
Okay.
It was very, very
Robbie scraped some
way.
Birds off the road in his time at Fish and Wildlife. He knows what
right.
he knows. He
knew. Yep. But I was first there. It was right beside me. I was the first on scene. I just instinctively called 911 right away. They wanted me to go up and verify, so I did. And then so many cops came, ambulances came, did their thing. All the while, I'm like, oh, just excuse me, sir. I'd have to take a call. Yeah, I'm just looking for
locations. God, that's weird.
I think I found one. And thankfully, you guys were distracted with other things. It was just a quick,
check-in.
But I had to just a few of those check-ins with you before I came back.
And then when you came back, the face that you had was like you had, I mean...
Well, and he handed us
the expression, but...
Because you guys were like, no, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, look, seriously. And then... It was just somber and it was bad.
Was there any follow-up from the police? Did you have to do anything after that or was it just
No,
filed
but they were all very, 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 very concerned that
for
I
you?
Needed counseling.
Which you probably did.
Three or four different officers.
So was our office, right?
So was our boss emailed me some resources, paramedics. And they were just like, it's like trauma like this, PTSD, it sets in later.
Right.
You might be just walking to work one day and all of a sudden, boom, it hits you. They're like, people process it differently.
Yeah.
They were so concerned. Do you need a ride?
And was that an accurate statement? Did it hit you way later differently or?
No. No. And I know you say it changed me. It was awful. Okay. It was so awful. But it Like, I wasn't at war. I didn't watch my friend die in the battlefield.
Right.
There was no struggle.
Did it give you any perspective on, like, wow, life can go quick?
It made me really sad about the state of things, just even in the city, and how people have to come to that conclusion, like that's their only option.
Right.
I really hope it wasn't a decision because they knew I was there and they wanted to maybe, I don't know, make a scene as we're broadcasting or something. I really hope it wasn't, like, that's one thing that got in my mind. Like, maybe he did it there just, like, this was his day and he chose it because he knew I was, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, but it just, it was awful.
So to Sam's question, I always thought in the back of my head that that one was the one that was, like, got to be the hardest out of everything, where you felt helpless and
the one, like, you can't forget.
God, right?
Like, there's nothing I could have done, right? It's not like,
yeah, I know.
It's not like someone got hit by a car and they're struggling. Like, help me. And they died in my arms. They fell beside me. I look over and the creepiest thing was watching the body deflate. Oh. Like the moment, like, I saw death and it was like their soul left their body.
And yeah, I always remember when you say that, just saying like you watched them, the
soul leave.
Which I was like, wow, that's
wild. It was so bizarre. And I'll never forget that thud. It was like it was from a video game. Video games nail those sounds.
How do you think they're so close? Whack, dear God.
Thud, it echoed under the bridge. Just
right.
And it scared the crap out of me because it was so loud. And I just look over and I see this body deflate.
I took a job at a radio station in Montreal. This is in like 96. And the studio was in like at the base of a apartment high rise. And it was my first week working there. And there was a huge loud thud, like almost like, you know how it is when the garbage truck is here and it lifts up the dumpster and sets it down and how it kind of vibrates. But that like multiplied by five. And a huge thud to the point where, and yeah, make fun of me, we were playing records at the time, and the needle skipped on the record.
Whoa.
And although they weren't all records, there were just a few, right, for the songs we couldn't source on CD. Anyway, and it jumped, and I found out there was police. I looked out the window. There was a whole police incident and all that, and it had been somebody who had jumped. And the next day, I was talking to the guy who used to work that evening shift. Like, oh, my God, craziest thing happened, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yeah, happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to get comfortable with that ever.
No, it was really weird.
I kind of got that impression too because it wasn't in the news.
Right.
It was like every day, like they're professionals obviously, but all the emergency crews on site were just like, it was routine for them. Something they deal with often.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sucks.
Right.
It really does.
Well.
What a downer.
I mean.
Wow.
Thanks, Sam.
But Sam, maybe that'll answer your question. That one never made it to the air, but that one, I mean, we've lived with that for a long time.
I feel like we may have touched on it on a previous podcast.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, it was traumatizing, but it wasn't enough to, like, there are people over, like I said, going to war.
Mm-hmm. Watch your friends.
If you have to see a loved one die or something and they're struggling, like that would be traumatizing. This was just awful.
And yeah. I will say this, Sam, this one specifically for you or anybody who has kind of ventured into the history of our podcast, then you'd have to scroll back quite a way to find it. But one of the most interesting stories we've ever heard on our podcast was,
the escapee of Twitchell?
The guy that was almost murdered by a serial killer and escaped. Yeah.
Was that the copycat or whatever, Dexter?
Yes.
Yeah, that was wild.
Incredible podcast. And you just scroll down and read the descriptions. It might take you a while to find it, and it's a longer one, but my God, man.
Yeah.
That one didn't seem
real. In fact, I might be able to get you the date if you just bear with me.
It might be, yeah. So, like, surviving a serial killer. Yeah, it was Mark Twitchell, the Mark Twitchell story.
That was a large police case. If you're new to Edmonton, you might not know the Mark Twitchell case, but it was a massive headline grabber here. Where he'd been found guilty of murdering a lot of people, did he not?
Luring
an old couple?
Maybe he tried.
Was that the guy with the old couple?
No, that was a different one.
That was a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
I think he might, there's a lot to that one. It happened on the old crescent of my childhood best friend.
Really?
That's creepy, yeah. I spent a lot of time on that crescent.
Yeah, it was scary.
Especially at the time we heard it, I was a single guy. I had a Plenty of Fish account.
Right.
It's something that could happen to anybody. Just posed as an attractive woman on a dating site, invited the person over, and essentially tried to tase him. And
first degree murder of one person by the looks of it.
Right. And he was almost the second victim, or maybe the first victim.
I think he was an escapee before the victim, and he felt so bad about it because he was embarrassed.
Inspired by the Dexter Morgan character.
I just remember him saying he wished he would have reported it sooner because he felt a little bit responsible.
And how could you not? Because like it almost happened to you. You got away. You're feeling all good.
But you're embarrassed.
Right. Yeah, I understand. That's a tough... Whew. Very, very tough.
Did you find it, Pep?
No, I'm...
It should be up there. We talked to him here when we were at his.
I just remember I posted something about it on Instagram, so I'm just going through. I thought it'd be easier to find it on my Instagram posts. And I can't seem to find it, unfortunately. But if you look deep enough, that's like the craziest one we've
Wasn't there done. A repost of that not too long ago?
Might have been. Yeah, might have been.
So I don't think you got to go back as far as you're thinking, but maybe.
Oh, and you know what? Because we don't have a website anymore.
Right.
It might have been on our old website.
Damn internet!
Robbie, do you have it somewhere still?
No, everything was integrated to Seeker. So it looks like that might have been taken down. Oh, I do have. I'm sure I do have the podcast still. We could repost it.
Maybe. It's worth it.
It just may not be live right now, but I definitely have an archive of that.
Okay. We'll look for it. If we can find it, we'll post it, directly under this one, maybe?
Yeah, because that one is wild.
Okay, yeah.
Or, we could repost it this summer or something just so people can catch up.
Right. This took a very, very dark turn. And remember, we started by talking about...
August 11th, 2023, episode 395, 52 minutes long.
Where's
that? Pepper and Dylan show throwback, the incredible story of an Edmonton man who escaped convicted killer Mark Twitchell.
Yeah. Oh, where is that?
I have it on a podcast app. August 11th, 2023.
On the Apple podcast?
Let me see if it's still working. If I hit play, is it going to work?
It's only one way to find out, Dylan.
Well, yeah.
There it is. You go. It's there. Dylan Show podcast.
All right, so yes. Yeah, that's one. Thank goodness, okay. Megan.
So that's where
he sent that to Megan last year, and she posted it. Okay. We're in 2023.
So that's where you can find that one. August that is 11, a wild hour of listening to hear his story. But okay, brighter days ahead, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We will. Thank you for. And again, you can ask us anything. Send questions, Robbie. You say a good flow of questions has been coming in. So.
Yeah, we've got a few good ones.
Okay, good. So yeah, continue to do that. You can message the show directly, like Sam did this morning, or you can reach out to us via a multitude of platforms, including Robbie's Instagram, which is a good way to do it. And you can ask us anything. Thanks for listening.
Pepper and Dylan on Kiss.